at the Chinese, we have to start with ni hao. In India, we have namaste and other things like that. But greetings, brothers and sisters. I just want this to be an opportunity for us to realize that this is really for all of us. We don't want it to be an us and them, that we're all involved in it. You know, the old covenant is contrasted with the new, but even in the old covenant, God always planned that his people should be a light to the nations. And that's just one of the many references that we who represent the nations were always part of God's purpose. When Abraham was called, he was called to bless the nations and to bring blessing to the nations. And I love Paul's verse in Corinthians, where he says, God, creator God, the God who in Genesis 1 said, let there be light, that God, God who commanded the light out to shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts. As I think we're all very aware as we were worshiping together this morning, to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what our lives are to be, sharing the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's a slightly bizarre picture, but just spent half a minute talking about that because I've been thinking about Revelation and about Zechariah. And in Zechariah 4, there's this picture of the golden lampstand, the same lampstand with seven lights burning in the tabernacle. And it's mentioned again in Revelation. So in fact, that light, which of course is a reflection or a shadow of what's in heaven, speaks of, according to the interpretation that John the Revelator had, of the seven churches. And we are therefore included in that. It's our light that is to shine. And I love the fact that it specifies in Zechariah that on either side of this huge golden lampstand, there are olive trees. And the olive trees are, of course, a symbol of a continuing supply of oil. Because in those days, they had a wick with pure olive oil in the top of it, in the cup. And so it would burn. As long as there was oil, the light would keep burning. But when the oil burnt away, then the light would go out. And so the secret, which is one that Jesus reminds us of, is that we need to be constantly renewed, constantly refilled, constantly have that oil flowing. And that's what the olive trees represent, that continual flow coming in. So as we are talking about witnessing and talking about the light, I just want to really emphasize that this comes through the Holy Spirit. No other way. And it comes through daily, hourly receiving because, as somebody has said, we tend to leak. We tend to burn out or whatever, and we will certainly unless the oil of the Holy Spirit is constantly renewing and refreshing us. If you look there, there's a much better map over there, which our friend Milan from Kiamaya put up for us. Great pains, great difficulty. Thanks, Ed, helping and a few others. And anyway, it's up. Hallelujah. But, you know, I think you'll enjoy looking at it because it makes you feel as if you could really walk around the world fairly effortlessly and put your hands on the places that God leads you to pray for. It's really good. But this trip is in some ways less ambitious than some we've been on, but I think it's going to be very powerful and we're very excited that God's called five of us from here. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. And we're going up to, I can't quite show it, but no, I'm not tall enough. But anyway, is there? Okay. Oh, don't know how to do it. And it's a place called, well, we fly into Delhi, then up to Dehradun, and then across to Chandigarh. But as you can see, it's right up in the north, and it's very near Nepal. So in fact, we have people from Nepal who will also be going to attend the Vineyard School of Mission that the Vineyard Church in Dehradun are organizing. We went there last year, and they've asked us to go again. Yeah, we went in 2014. That was some of the team, minus Graham. And in 2014, Marty met Kaingham, who is now a church planter. He wasn't church planting at that point, but it was on his heart to go. And since then, they've established a church. VSOM stands for School of Mission. Every year, there are different people who go. They're representatives from various parts of India and Nepal who meet together. Usually, they're pastors, youth workers, church planters who come together, and various ones, including us, will be there just to encourage one another, to worship together, to just see how God leads us, to encourage and equip one another for the work that he's giving to us. Of course, last year it was just after that terrible Nepal earthquake, and it was a great privilege, but quite painful as well, to be with our lovely brothers and sisters from Nepal. And that was another very special highlight last year, the foot washing ceremony at the end, graduation night, and then we went on to Chandigarh to the church plant, and here we have Kaingham with his wife, two little girls, and sister-in-law, and another friend here on the left. And they have also invited us there. So we'll start in Dehradun, and then we're invited to go to Chandigarh as well. Kaingham is a great worship leader, and they really miss him in Dehradun, although they've got one or two worship leaders there as well, but he was pretty special. And a surprising, well, I think quite an exciting thing has happened for us. We're planning on going to India and then on to Lebanon. But we felt the Lord say, no, I don't want you to go to Lebanon. I want Rania to come to you. And so that seemed like an amazing thing. And but every person I mentioned it to got excited at the idea. And in the end, I found the courage to ask her and to say, Rania, how would you feel about coming to India with us? And she was excited. I thought, oh, wonderful. So she's arranged her flight so that we'll all meet up in Delhi and fly together to Dehradun. Now, you might remember that this girl works mainly with Syrian refugees, but she has an awesome ministry. She's very anointed for evangelism and very fearless, incredible. And she's been up before the court. She's had her car, this is in the last 12 months, had her car jammed. She fell. She's broken two ribs and her shoulder very recently. So she's just constantly up against it. And we feel that it's going to be a time of great healing and great refreshing for her to be with these lovely people in India. And also it'll be a totally, I think, very encouraging for her to see other ethnic workers in their societies and what they do, and there'll be opportunities. I spoke to her by Skype last night, and she just sounded so happy and so much better, even though she's still got a good bit of pain. But she said that one girl is there who's looking after her like an angel. And to me, that was such an answer to prayer, because we were very concerned about her. I knew she was in terrific pain. She has metal pins in her shoulder, and she could hardly do anything. And she said, this girl has come to Lebanon for a discipleship training school, DTS, with YWAM, and her name is Elmira, and she's from Turkmenistan. I looked up Turkmenistan, and it's just north of Afghanistan and Iran, so you get the idea of where it is. How amazing for God to answer prayers in that way. I mean, it just blows my mind. I love the fact that we live in a global village, and we have the sense that, you know, God's calling us from all over to be part of his purposes. She just loves, as you can tell from that picture, she just loves children. So we'd love you to pray for our team. We're going to ask somebody to take on a role of organizing prayer for us, because we do need that prayer covering and protection. You've already seen Marty, Graham, Rosemary. Sam and Nancy are going to be taking our communion for us, and they're also going with us, which is going to be wonderful. And from Chandigarh, we're going on to Singapore to see what God is doing amongst some of their family and friends and people, and the Bible Society in Singapore. So that's going to be another great opportunity. And, of course, as I've said, also Rania. But we don't want you to forget the other missions person that we have a heart for and that we give to. We do give money to help Rania with her rent, but we also are concerned with and other things. And Makara is a nurse in training in Cambodia. That's him there on the right. And I believe CB is helping to pay for his nurse's training. So that's just for you to remember that in various parts of the world we have these commitments to pray and to encourage other brothers and sisters, bring the nations.
I'm a bit surprised at what I'm going to talk about this morning because it's not quite the normal sort of missions talk. Because I sort of, as I've been praying about this trip, the Lord's given me something of a vision of what He's going to do, but it's not really a vision for some people over there. It's for us. I mean, it's for all of us. And I feel this is a vision of what God's doing in the church amongst us. And I'm really excited about it because it hasn't started to happen. Well, it started to happen. I thought, you know, the anointing and the worship this morning was just amazing. And that's where it's coming from, you know. Anyway, I want to read to you from Numbers chapter 11, in verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp. They didn't come to the tent. One named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My Lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of the Israel returned to the camp. And I feel that what Moses is expressing here is really the heart of God and the heart of God for us. That he wants all. I mean, when we're talking about going out to do a mission, we're sending a team out and so on. That sending people out that are so different from the rest of us. It's what we do. This is who we are, all of us. And what I think the Lord's going to do in the next few weeks is for all of us. And it's, you know, whether whatever role we have or no role at all, like these two guys out stayed home instead of going to the tent, the Spirit of God still came on them. And they prophesied just the same as the others. So this is the kind of surprise that overtook the early church when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. The last thing they expected to find the Gentiles being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying and so on. And they suddenly realized, well, the same thing's happening to them. It's genuine, you know, it's happening. And this is what I sort of feel we need to get hold of, that actually we're all in this together. And we're all part of the same move of the Holy Spirit, and we're all capable of moving in the Spirit and receiving the power of God and prophesying and whatever God has for us. And I think that's what's going to happen. I have a real expectation that in the next few weeks we're going to move into a new dimension of relationship with God and a new dimension of relationship with one another. Because I know that we can't move into a new dimension with God without things starting to happen between us that are there but not really happening in some cases, you know. We're going to have such a deeper fellowship and love for one another and appreciation of one another and sharing together of what the Lord's doing and what we have and more of a, I don't know, more of a community of love and grace than we've ever had before. And I think we're just on the verge of this. I mean, feel it happening already. And so maybe this mission trip is sort of going to catalyze us into it. But whatever God is doing, it's for all of us. And what we are praying and hoping is going to happen in Chandigarh and Dehradun is going to happen here. It's not isolated. It's not an isolated thing that's going to happen somewhere else. And I can see a whole lot of things beginning to happen or continuing to happen in a greater way than we've ever experienced in terms of just things being broken off us and just set free and just receiving such grace that all, you know, healing in many, you know, in all its fullness, all the whole area of healing taking place in our lives and in our community and in our fellowship so that we'll never be the same. And I think this is a great thing. I mean, I'm so excited about it because it needs to happen to me. It needs to happen to all of us. I mean, we all need to just move on into what God's got, what's coming. Well, I think I've probably said enough, but I'll just hand over to Marty and bless you.
You can clap him. Yep, we're in. We're on. We're in. Good. Fantastic. Fantastic. Can you put that? Would you mind putting that board up for me? Just I'm going to cover that very quickly. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. There's been so much recently about light, about us being light, and even when we don't feel we're light, we are light. It's not based on feelings. As I was walking into CV on Friday, just along the road here, I passed a. There was a young lady, well, I didn't know she was young, but she was walking along with a walking stick. And I thought, so I sort of sidled up next to her. And I said, you seem to be going quite well with your walking stick. Something dumb. What a dumb thing to say. So she hit me over here with a note. They're just joking. So, and I said, you know, because I mean, I've actually had a number of injuries, and I know what it's like to walk around with crutches and walking sticks. And I felt some compassion towards her. And I said, you know, have you got some injury? She said, no, I've actually got an autoimmune problem, and it's lupus. And I just said, well, you seem to be coping very well. And that's all I had a chance to say, because the next minute she sort of started walking across the road, probably to get away from me. But I wanted to pray for her. But I thought, well, that's actually okay. I was just being a reflector of his love. And isn't that what we're talking about? And as she walked across the road, I thought, I can pray for her. So I did that. And I think this is what we're saying. We have all been called to be his witnesses. And I'm going to try and wrap up now. I've got about 2 hours of stuff, but I'm going to do it in 5 minutes. Okay. So it's basically, I'll see if I can do this thing real quick. But I want to talk about AIM. Okay, A-I-M, okay? All of us have been called ignition and maintaining it. And I also want to put a bit of a thing up here. I love doing these sorts of things. And I'm going to put a target on here. And I'm hoping I'm going to get these. Can you see that? And I'll put another one in there. And another one there. And another one out there. Pretty cool, eh? I'm pretty good at these things. Anyway, so what we've got is we've got a target here which we're aiming for. Pum, 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 pum. So that aim is quite significant. That there is the glory of God. And if you take your Bibles and read from Philippians, I got that right? 2:10-11. I'll read that in a second. So what we've got is we've got everything we're doing is for His glory. I mean, why does He use us, for goodness sake? He's on a mission, people. And in a sense, he's going to achieve that mission even without us. There's nothing is going to stop this mission. Right now, there are thousands and thousands and thousands coming to Jesus in China alone every day. We've been part of that. We've been part of the underground. I've carried Bibles in China. I know what it's like to walk through the gates 5 times and get caught 4 times out of 5. And I was scared stiff. Then I ended up walking through another time with so many Bibles on me, I could hardly walk. And I could hardly carry the bag. The next minute, my bag became like a duffel bag. Because there was an angel with me walking through the gates through Gong Bay. And I was scared stiff. And I thought my life was going to be taken out because I walked through this dark alley. I thought, Lord, I've actually told the guys I'm taking Bibles into China. Well, I've got the Bibles into China. I'm going back out with the Bibles. I'm not staying here. But I had to walk down this dark alley. So I walked down this dark alley. I was lost. All the things that I didn't want to have happen to me happened to me. I hate buses. I was on a bus. I was squashed with people on buses. You know that. All the things. I didn't want to be separated from my friends. I was separated from my friends. It was scary stuff. And I walked through, this dark alley, and I thought to myself, because it was getting dark, and I thought to myself, right, if he's going to take my life for bringing Bibles to China, so be it. So I walked through this place, and as I came through, there was a guard standing right there, and he said to me, where are you going? And I said, actually, I'm going to such and such a hotel because I had to deliver these Bibles. He said, I'll take you there. That's part of the story. What I'm saying is all of us have been called, and everyone here can go and sign up with Open Doors or any of these organizations and take Bibles into China. You don't have to sit back and say, I'm going to pray about this for 6 months. You guys could go to Greece if you want to. I was praying for you and thinking about you guys this morning. There's 2 or 3 of you that are interested. All you have to do is sit down, pray, and Jolly will go. And He will provide. Everybody has been called. That's what the all is about. And coming back to this. Right, so this is here is local. We've been hearing a lot about that recently. Near and far. Today we're trying to bring an emphasis on far because you've been hearing a lot about this recently. So we've been called to take Jesus told the disciples to what? To go to Jerusalem. What did He tell them? He said, don't go anywhere until what? Till my Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because He knew that He would need the power, they'd need the power to go out to take the mission of God, and so do we. You need to have the power and the impact in the Holy Spirit to do what He's called you to do because it's impossible without Him. So He said, local, near, and far, from Jerusalem to other parts of the world. Local, near, and far. And we and the mission that we've got is no different to that. I've got to do this in 2 minutes. So this is what it says in Philippians 2. It says here, 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to what? The glory of God our Father. Amazing. Isn't that incredible? So A means what we've all been called, okay? We're all on a mission. Remember the Blues Brothers? We're all on a mission from God, right? Everybody, say to the person next to you, you are on a mission from God. All are on a mission from God. We have all been given a mandate by Jesus to share the good news of the kingdom of God to all peoples, and that is every nation and every people group. When we go on this trip, we're going to be sent on this trip. So we're really wanting you guys to pray for us 24/7. Please do that. We're going to represent you, but as we go there, we're going to represent Christ. That's the mission we're on. You like that? Matthew 28:19-20 says this, "Therefore, Capital Vineyard people, Martin, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," amen, "and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That is what? Everything. So what is everything? Well, check what it says in the Gospels. Check what Jesus said. He said, "I go to do what the Father has told me to do." He's not going to do any less than that. And so I'm not going to do any less than that. I want to do what the Father wants me to do desperately. I'm surprised that we've been running this church. Chrissy, I'm surprised. Because on my heart, and I'm surprised that you guys have stayed with us, because on my heart has always been mission. And I've been to a lot of countries and I've seen a lot of things. I was adding this up the other day. I first toured the Philippines back in, before you guys were born. And we ministered to thousands and we saw thousands come to Jesus in a musical team. I've toured New Zealand. We ministered to over 54,000 young people. We saw thousands come to Jesus. The biggest crowd we ever ministered to, 10,000 people in the Munting Lupa prison in Singapore. Manila, sorry. That was scary. That was really scary. That was machine gun stuff. They said to us, "We will blow a whistle. If you hear that whistle, you lie flat on the ground, because then the machine guns come out, and we will fire 1 meter above the ground." So these guys were in there for life. They were 10,000 people, right? That's what happened. Big courtyard, all these people. It didn't happen. But we ministered to them, alongside a lovely lady from the Four Square Church who just wandered in and out of death row and just led these young guys to Jesus. Getting back to this, so we've all been called. Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Wellington, in New Zealand, and abroad, and to the ends of the earth." In John 20:21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending every one of you to Greece, every one of you to the Philippines, every one of you to India, everyone, wherever he's going to show you." In Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Interesting about the Holy Spirit, because he's with us, right? He comes into us when we become born again, but he comes upon us for what? So you can go and sleep at in church or sleep at work? No, he comes upon us to empower us, to enable us to go and do the works that he's called us to. And how on earth are we going to do it without him? So for me, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost every day, and if I fall on the floor, leave me there, all right? That's the deal. The thing about this whole, these passages of scripture, there's so many passages of scripture. Quickly. Here we are. Luke 24:47. "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." 24:14, Matthew. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come." Zechariah 4:6, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit." Arthur F. Glazier said a neat thing. This is what he said. "God's program for evangelism of the world involves the local church. Unless local congregations are firmly established in each population center that has been evangelized, there can be no satisfactory way of conserving the results of evangelism." So church planting is essential. Michael Green said, "There can be no doubt from a candid examination of the New Testament accounts that the prime purpose of the coming of the Spirit of God upon the disciples was to equip them for missions. The Comforter comes not to allow men to be comfortable," amen, "but to make them" what? "Missionaries." Vineyard is a church planting movement, people, and we're in hundreds, probably thousands of countries all across the world breaking new territory. And this is, in a sense, what we're going to be doing in Chandigarh. We're going to be going up there and we're going to be working with a young man who's now trying to get into areas of the slums in that area. Nobody else is touching them. He's going in there. And we need your money and your prayers to help us to do that. Let's be honest about that. So what's the next thing? Ignite. All I'm going to say about this is doing nothing is doing something. Doing nothing is doing something. And all I'm going to say is that to encourage you and me as individuals to pray. Pray for us, but pray that maybe God would put, no, maybe, pray that God would put a nation on your heart. We've been taking teams to Fiji since 1997. Our church was only a couple of years old. We didn't have any money, but we've, I don't know how many teams we've taken up there, but we've seen God move in some incredibly, powerfully, wonderful ways. So you can begin. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God to put something on your heart. Begin to ask him to ignite something in your heart for mission. And he will do that. It's not scary. It's cool. The next thing is this, to maintain that. So once he has given you a mission, once he has given you a vision, once he's given you or stirred your heart up to go to wherever, Andreas, it doesn't matter if it's Greece, wherever, but once he's stirred your heart up to go and you go, that's the ignition thing, then is to maintain that connection and that relationship with these people. And this is what we're trying to do with people like Rania. It's what we're really trying to do with people like, this is, we've got to maintain that relationship. We've got to maintain that connection with those guys. And in the church here in CV, we need to maintain a focus of mission, local, near, and far. And we are trying to resource that. Each of the team members, for instance, it's costing them, I've forgotten how much, each of the team members are raising their own money to do this, around about $3,000. So if you feel led to contribute by prayer or money, that's cool. Have a chat to us. You can just write a check out and put it in the thing down the back there. But, you know, we can't. These teams that we've sent to Fiji over the years, we need funds for that. I've run out of time. Okay, I'll finish off by saying this. Okay, just to say this, that we're all on a mission from God, right? That's the deal. As we take communion this morning, I think that's representative of that as well. We're saying, yes, I'm taking the cup, I'm taking the bread, but I'm honoring, in so doing, I'm honoring you in terms of the mission and the calling that you have on my life. So all of us are called to extend his kingdom and on the work on this earth. Secondly is initiate or ignite. A vision is taught and it's also caught. The other thing is to maintain this. But whatever we do, let's aim for something. Let's aim for something. Let's do whatever we're going to do for his glory. Let's go for it. That's my wrap-up. We're going to take communion now. There's so much more I could say here. Give me a clap if you want to. I feel like the Blue Brothers today. I feel like, oh, yeah, how do they do it like this? Like, you know, I just feel like that. I feel that liberty this morning because you know, seeing the Blue Brothers? I mean, that's what I feel. I feel that's what he wants from us. I'm a little bit crazy, but that's okay. You know, I think that's what he wants from us. He wants us to have life. He wants us to basically, he wants to ignite us, and he wants us not to go to sleep, but to go and do the works of the kingdom. And that begins at home. It doesn't, in a sense, it doesn't begin here. This is sweet here. We all love each other. Hug, hugs. It begins at home, right? And then it's out on the street. So, yeah, you want to take the microphone, you take it. I've done my thing.
Sorry, I just, I just had a sort of a, I was during the worship, get to the point. During the worship, I was looking out the window, saw like a bit of a V8 drive past and a big, you know, big V8. And I was reflecting on this, the V8, you know, how a V8 engine, a V8's a car, by the way, a big car with a big engine in it. How sometimes we're sitting, you know, we could be sitting, sometimes we're sitting in like it's V8, it's just idling. And a V8's not intended to be idling, it's intended to be going. And we're sitting there with our foot, and we've got this, we've got all of the Word and God. We've got this V8 engine there, and all we have to do is put this, put our foot down, and you hear that, yeah, that's when it hits its, that's what it wants to do. It wants to go 100 k's an hour. It just wants to go. And we're sitting there sometimes idling, and this engine, just reflecting on this engine, this is the engine of Samuel, of David, of Moses, of Jesus, obviously, of Paul, all these greats. We've got this engine in our car, and we can hit that throttle, and this is when we can go. Yeah.
Thank you, Nicholas. That's awesome, actually. I love it. Hey, what we're going to do with the communion, we're going to do it differently because I'm worried about the time. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to just invite you. For this is a feast for those that know Jesus, okay? If you don't know Jesus, then talk to somebody next to you. But this is a feast for those that know Jesus, okay? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to just basically pray for you. If you need to go, please go. But if you'd like to take the communion, I'll get Sam and Nancy and Rosemary and Graham to come and join me now. We'll be up here. We will serve you, okay? But if you need to go, please go, okay? And then I'm going to suggest you take the emblems back and just sit and join your own, perhaps your own family, and just take them together. Is that okay? Okay. Come on up, guys. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. And, Lord, my prayer would be that something that we've shared would stir our hearts, Lord, that you've clearly said that we are all called. I guess that's the first thing. And secondly, Lord, I'm asking that you would ignite something in our hearts that would cause us to think beyond beyond our local environment, our neighbours, our workmates, this nation, and the nations. And then, Father, I would ask that you, by your Spirit, you would enable us to do that which you've called us to do, but to maintain that call that you've put on our lives. And, Father, as we take the... Okay, do you want to pray for the bread and wine?
Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, for sending your beloved Son, Jesus, to die for us. His body was crushed so that we'll be healed from our disease, from our sickness. Your blood is shed so that ours will stay in us, and we have your righteousness that we can come boldly to your Holy of Holy. Lord, today we take this communion not only for ourselves, but also from those that will be ministering in India, in other country. We're taking on behalf of them, that your crucifixion, your glory, your kingdom will spread over there. For your sake, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. So, look, please feel free to come and help yourself to these. If you need to go, please feel free to go. And